Praise God. Well, just had something on my heart to share as we go into 2018. Go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4:20. Let's go ahead and turn there. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. Of course, it's on your sheet. And I'll put it up on the screen too. You guys expecting?
Yes.
This morning, we need to be expecting as we're listening to the Word. God is always faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And as His Word goes forth, the presence of God, the power of God's there, but we need to receive it. We need to receive His Word. There can be one person sitting there, and their lives can be changed, and another person sitting right next to them and not get anything. The Word's the same Word. The Spirit's the same Spirit, but it's how we receive it. It's the ground of our spirit, our heart. And we prayed, right? So we're believing. You're not just coming to hear me. You came to hear from Him.
That's right.
And as we're turning into 2018, we expect to have some momentum, right?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Praise God. Let's read in Proverbs 4:20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Now look on your sheet, and I'll put it up on the screen too. Proverbs, the same verses, Proverbs 4:20 through 27 in the New Living Translation. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Notice this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now the part I had on my heart this morning was that verse 23. And the New King James, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Then we just read in the New Living Translation, verse 23, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart. And that's what I want to focus on today. As we're going into 2018, what does it say here determines the course of your life? Your heart. Your spirit. What you put in and you allow to come in and what you feed on. Go back to, could you put that in the New King James as well? We'll just kind of bounce between these or on your sheet as well. I like the way it says this here. I like the guard your heart. That's probably what we're going to title this. But keep your heart with all diligence. To me, that gives me a picture of somebody like tending a garden. You know, like keeping the garden, maintaining with all diligence. What does that mean? You are on it. You are consistent. You are keeping it up. This isn't something you do one time. keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of your heart are going to spring the issues of life. Your life proceeds, what you do, what your destiny, proceed out of your heart. And right now, we have wrapped up inside of us right now, we have the beginnings of what we're going to do in 2018. But the way we're going to get done what we need to get done, the way our life is going to be all it should be, is by tending our heart and guarding our heart. And a lot of people, as we're going into a new year, what they focus on is the external. I'm going to change this behavior. I'm going to undo this habit. Can you go over to the New Living Translation again? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, people focus on, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing such and such. But the issues of life, the course of your life, they proceed out of your heart. So many people that are making the resolutions that people are making right now and are going to carry on, nothing wrong with a resolution, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't flip a switch and undo 15 years of habits that you've been doing. By the grace of God, you can change things. But when you've been going down a course and your heart has been going a certain way, you just thinking you're going to change an external behavior without dealing with the root is not the most effective approach. And this is why the gyms are full at the beginning of January, but they thin out really quick. Because you can start doing something different for a little while, but it stacks up on you. You move other stuff aside to try to do one thing, but you haven't changed the core. You haven't changed who you really are. You haven't changed the desires that are affecting that behavior, are the reason you are doing those behaviors. It's going to snap back. Your heart, though, and people will ignore this right here. They won't do anything with their heart, and they think their behavior is going to change. I'm not going to lose my temper anymore. Well, why are you losing your temper? Why do we lose our temper? There's things that are going on there. It's not just, if it were that easy, everybody would do it just like this. If you wrote down everything you wrote down and you could just change tomorrow, because you wrote it down on a piece of paper, you map out the ideal plan for you tomorrow. What you're going to start doing tomorrow. Well, that's not reality. That's ignoring the Bible. That's ignoring all the things we've put in that got us to where we are, and now we think we're going to go from here, where we are, and go into this ideal mode just like that. Change is not easy in and of yourself. Has anybody found that out? You have a momentum in the direction you've been going. And so to change it, you don't just write something on a piece of paper and decide you're going to do something dirt different externally. It's much more than that. Now, with God's help, we can do anything He asks us to do, be anything He asks us to be, and you can change into the person that He needs you to be by His grace and with His strength. But it's not, and there is, you know, self-discipline, that's not a bad phrase. Those aren't dirty words. But it takes, if you really want to change, you can discipline outwardly to do certain things. But like Reverend Brian McCallum, who was one of my instructors at Rhema, you know, he came out here several years ago. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But it stuck with me what he would say. If you try to change in the flesh and try to change yourself in the flesh, it's like this. Your flesh pops out and you slam it down in the flesh. Guess what? It's going to pop up somewhere else. and you hit that and you knock it down, guess what? It's going to pop up somewhere else. And pretty soon, you can't keep up that way. That's why you see people stop one habit and something else fills its place. Right? But how do you change stuff for good? Am I saying there's no way to change? No, absolutely there's a way to change, but God's way is different than men's way. People are focusing on the outward and they're forgetting we're a spirit, or they don't know, because that's totally ignored. For the most part in our society, that is ignored. Our heart is the key. You are a spirit. I am a spirit. We have a soul. We have mind, will, and emotions, and you're gonna keep that. That's your personality. You're going to know each other. You're going to be able to talk to each other. But your body, this body, is decaying. But what do you see the focus on? A lot the physical, your outward appearance, transform yourself in 2018. Well, you talk, yeah, you can do the work. It's just everybody knows they ought to do it. It's just doing it. I know I'm not supposed to eat that, but I want to eat that. I know I'm supposed to eat more of this, but I don't want to. That's the key. It's not physically doing it. Everybody can do it one or two or three or four or five times or stop doing something. But we're dealing with the physical there and your mental. People do something on your mental arena, and you need to be more educated. Well, educated with what? Because, yeah, you can get more education, but what's the motivation, and are we putting in godly things in? Because God's word is what's going to bear fruit, and godly things that we put in our mind are what are going to help us to change. But people, by and large, ignore the spirit. And there's a whole lot, if they are saying anything spiritual, it's whacked out stuff. New ideas about your spirit, and they're, you know, in introducing all these things that aren't godly. But God created the human heart. He created us, and He knows how to get us in the right place, and He gave us advice right here. Let's go back. Can you put up Proverbs 4:24? And let's do it, let's go back to the New King James and just look through this. And then we're going to go a little bit further, look at this. It says, verse 20, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, what would that mean? You're blocking some other stuff out. It's not that we've talked about this in some other areas, but it's not the amount of things that you're listening to. In other words, you have, I need to listen to five different series and read, you know, four different books at the same. It's not the amount, it's what you assimilate into your life, being a doer of the word. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, these are surrounding the verse that we are focusing on, but what is this saying? Don't let them depart from your eyes. What are you focusing on? His words. We're talking about guarding our heart, tending our heart. What are we going to tend it with? We're going to be surrounding ourselves with His words, His sayings. He said, keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them go from you. Don't let them get out of your sight. Now, this takes diligence. It does take effort, because the things that we're bombarded with in the world are not, for the most part, godly ideas and godly thoughts. And if we look at those things, it will affect our heart. Now, we're going to see this. Your heart determines, the state of your heart determines where you're going. And we're going to see this. Faith is of the heart. And so many people are looking past this and looking at this external, looking at the external saying, I'm going to change so-and-so, and I'm going to change my mouth. I'm going to do more. But they're not giving, they're not feeding their heart. They're not strong spiritually. So instead of focusing on the end of the chain, which is what you do, we need to go back up and start focusing on what are we putting in to our heart. What's the state of our heart? Because weak spirit, you're going to see the results of it in your life. You're not going to be strong. You're going to be pushed around with this world. Your emotions are going to be up and down. Why? People are trying to control that and say, oh, I'm not supposed to think like that. I'm not supposed to do that. But they're not putting in, they're not maintaining their heart. We got to keep going on here. Also, we'll preach on this part all day. We could preach on every one of these verses. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Next one. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. His words are health and life. Next verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, like we focused on, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep going. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Notice this is after you keep your heart. Go to the next verse. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you. As we go into 2018, we need to be focused. Focus on what? He just gave us some instructions on His Word, on maintaining our heart, and ignore the other junk. If we would just do, don't let this be too simple for you today. If we will go into 2018 and instead of focusing all this peripheral stuff, focus on feeding ourselves on the Word of God. Focus on the state of our spirit. Make it our highest priority that we're going to push other stuff out and we're going to make sure we're getting fed on His Word and spending time with Him, changing our heart. All the issues of life, the direction of your life are flowing from that one thing. So if we want to change this stuff, quit focusing out here because we'll end up just like all the other people. Start out good and fade. Why? They haven't focused upstream. But we can do it. This is a key. And I believe this is what God would have us to focus on today as we're going into this year. Go ahead, verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Verse 27. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let's just set the path and then stay on it. Because we're going to be here again real soon. Like I said, if Jesus doesn't come back, it's going to be the end of 2018. We're going to be standing here. And something happened between now and then. And we're starting out saying we want certain things to be different. Well, we have to change the core. And as we change the core, things just start to change naturally. Now let's look at some more on this. Look on your sheet. Now let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, you guys all right? Praise God. We're believing that we're going to get out what we need to get out today. Say what we need to say, not say things that we don't need to say, but stay on target. Matthew 15, verse 1. All right. So I said a number of things there. I want to give you scripture for these things, okay? We kind of introed some things, but we're gonna backfill and talk about some of these things. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now look at what are they looking at? They're looking at an external. Why don't they wash their hands in a certain way, the way they're supposed to? He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" Now, the point I want to get over to you here, Jesus is saying these external things that the Pharisees are focusing on, this is not the deal. And this is what most people do. They look at the external. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't live holy. We absolutely should follow what God has commanded and what He's laid out. But He's saying it goes deeper than this. And if you're going to focus on this outward stuff, He's saying that's not what's messing you up. Go back upstream. It's not what you're eating. It's what's in your heart and what's coming out is tripping you up. And he's given an example. He said, the things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now, you could add to this list any bad habit or anything we want to change or stop. They proceed from your heart. But we're looking, for the most part as a society, at the end, trying to change the behavior and ignoring the heart. But God, in Proverbs, it said, you tend to your heart because everything in life flows out of this. The direction of your life is flowing out of the condition of your heart. So where do we need to focus? We need to focus upstream. Instead, and I'm just interjecting here, but, you know, people will get, okay, I'm going to get up, you know, earlier to exercise, or I'm going to get up earlier to whatever, do something, you know, focus on something else. Well, how about getting up earlier to feed ourselves on the Word of God? Now, don't take condemnation from any of this. We're looking at the Word of God as what's really going on. Because I've seen it in my own life, you see it from the Word. If we'll focus on what He said, these other things that we've been chasing will start to fall into place. If we'll focus on Him and focus on the condition of our heart and spend the extra effort and instead and focus put our priority on the right thing, which is feeding ourselves on His Word, being sure the condition of our heart. He said, tend your heart. Do it with all diligence. Then you will be able to change your behavior into what you need it to be, because you'll change your very core. The desires that you had to do something that's messing you up will start to change. But it's our heart. It's not these end goals. Let's read some more scripture. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but it's difficult here. Let's look at Luke 6:43 on your sheet. Got to give you more scripture on this. Luke 6:43. Just look at it on your sheet and they'll put it up on the screen. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus is saying people are doing and saying what they are out of the abundance of what's in their heart. In other words, it's not disconnected. Well, I know I do this, but, you know, in my heart's something different. Jesus did not say that. He said what we're doing, what we're saying, you know, we just got done reading in the other verse. He said all these things, these evil things, they proceed from the heart. Well, here he's saying what's in our heart is what's determining what we're saying. So, if we're having a problem with our mouth, don't just focus on the mouth. Now, I'm not saying let the mouth go. But some people, they're trying to focus on the mouth, but according to this, we ought to back up and start focusing on what's in our heart. And we're just laying some foundation. I believe we'll connect some of these. Look at Matthew 5:27. Go ahead and look at that on your sheet. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now this, we put this example up because Jesus is talking about this principle, but you could say this about any number of things. We're again focusing on the outside. People say, well, I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't do the act. According to Jesus, you already tripped up when you let it into your heart, because eventually it'll end up coming out. Now, we're not here to teach on this specific thing. We're illustrating it for all these, for everything we're talking about, these different actions that we would like to change. The problem is not what we're at, specifically what we're doing, the outward things that we say or do. We need to back up and realize there's a different problem, and if we focus on that problem, these other things will start to dissipate. He's saying, I mean, it's not just the person that actually goes into the act, it's the person that upstream just yielded to the wrong thing. What that means is you gave way to the wrong thing, let something in. That sets us up to do the wrong thing in every area. But if we'll feed our heart, we'll be set up to do the right thing. Boy, that went over well. That's a good place to say amen. Nobody said amen. I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Now, he said merely outward. He's not, you know, some people have taken this and say, you can't wear makeup, you can't wear, you know, jewelry and all that stuff. It's not saying that. He said, don't let that be the focus, which in our day and age is a big focus. It's all this stuff on the outside, but, you know, who are you? Who are you really? I mean, what are you, What type of person are you? The Bible is talking about who we are on the inside. Yes, it doesn't say you can't do these other things. We want to look nice. We want to be, you know, be a good representation. But, you know, if you got to choose between the two, it's not about the outward. It's about the inward. You can fix the outward. It's not that hard to buy new clothes or to get hair done or, you know. But the world is all about that outward and wants you to change it every season. So you just spend money. I'm not against, you can update your clothes. But if that's the focus and your heart is just being left not doing anything, then there's an unbalance there. That word will follow what's on the inward. But he said, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What's his focus? On the heart, on the spirit man. That's the key. You know as well as I do. You can be around somebody, looks good from a distance, got the sharp clothes, you know, latest hairdo, whatever, but you talk to them. Whoa, not nice. No, what we carry an atmosphere around us, the way we act and what's emanating from who we are on the inside. It fades really quick who somebody is on the outside. And unfortunately, our society is so focused on the outside as if that makes or breaks a person. That's not true. It's totally warped priorities. And people go, man, is it not incredible how people mess up their bodies? You've seen the articles. How you have people that are celebrities. They looked good. And then they have all these surgeries. And now they looked weird. It's like, what did you do to yourself? You're already in the movies. People already think you're something to look at. And then you hack it up. And it's like, good night, person. But why? Gotta look better. People put their bodies through all kinds of torture trying to just look better. But again, our society is warped. It is. It's on the external. I don't care how many, again, mental. I don't care how many degrees you have. Thank God for education. You ought to get all the education you can get in the direction that God has you going. Okay? Because if God has you going in this direction and you're getting educated to the nth degree over here, you've missed it. When you stand before Him and say, you know, I have 8 degrees. Did you do what I told you to do? No. Well, on the other hand, you could have 0 degree, you could have 1 degree, you could be just doing what God told you to do. I mean, there are people that are very, very rich that dropped out of college. Technology companies that I could name, that their founders left college, yet they changed the world. Well, they're just not educated? Oh, no. They know a thing or two. But then you got people that are perpetual students. I'm not knocking that if that's what somebody wants to do. The point is, what does God have for us? Educating your mind, do you educate your mind just for the sake of doing that, is not wise. It's not going in the right direction. But on the other hand, if you know what God has called you to do, and you say, God, I want to do this to the best of my ability, you go before Him and say, God, what do I need? Because isn't that the object of education? It's not to say I have education, it's to do something with it, right? What do I need to get this job done? And for some people, yeah, you know, if you're going to operate on people, you need to have some education and some practice. Certain things, it could be just a waste of time. If you're not going to use it and it's not part of God's plan, we ought to go to Him and say, God, what would you have me to do? And then we run in that area. But people just do it like it's a badge. Well, I know all this. I have these. And I'm not knocking education. Like I said, we ought to get educated in the line that God would have us to do. But it is not a substitute for nourishing your heart. If we'll focus on putting into our heart, we'll know what to get educated in and we'll not waste time in the wrong area. If we'll focus on taking care of our heart, then we'll do the right exercise program and the right diet that'll actually work for us instead of trying 15 different ones that work for somebody else and won't work for us. You know, I got to get going on it. You don't understand. Yeah, but if you waste a year doing the wrong thing, you could have taken time to figure out what's the right thing with God and cut all kinds of waste of time out. No, but you don't understand. I got to get it on tomorrow. Yeah, but if you're going in the wrong direction, you're just getting further away from your goal. That's like somebody saying, I got to get to Florida, and I got to leave now, and they take off headed for California. And, you know, 100 miles an hour, they're going in the wrong way, but I got to get going, you know. And then they come to themselves, and they're in Wyoming. Well, now Florida's a lot further away. Why didn't they, if they would have taken the time to figure out what direction am I supposed to go? Well, that's getting close. In this life, it's getting close to God. And then you have to be able to execute. You might know where you're supposed to go, but you're like, man, this thing's got me hung up. I want to do this, but you know, I do this. Well, what? Why? Some people say, I want to get up early, but they're up till 2 o'clock. Well, it's going to be hard to get up at 6 o'clock when you're up till 2. For anybody. And it's just self-discipline. I got to get up. What time did you go to bed? 2. Okay, we need to back up. If we went to bed earlier, you wouldn't have to exert so much self-control and your body would actually be healthy and you'd be able to get up. Yeah, but I want to watch so-and-so. Okay, now we're getting to the problem. Why do you want to watch that? Well, I just can't help myself. Okay, well then that's where if we spent time getting close to Him, just dealing with the heart, and we're not talking about you just going from 0 to 60. Just start going in that direction, because the more you start tending your heart, the more you'll want to. And then these other things, now you won't want to watch that thing, which means you could go to bed, which means you can get up, which means you can get the exercise in, which means you get the body you want. Or you start eating. Well, I want to eat this. Well, why? Again, if we're stressed out, if we're tired, we don't function the way we ought to function. When you're tired and stressed, you want to eat the stuff that doesn't look good. You're short-tempered with people around. Well, I'm going to control my temper. Yeah, well, if you're going on 4 hours of sleep all the time, it's going to be hard. But how do we get out of that loop? You don't focus on the last step. We got to focus on something earlier. How are we doing? Go ahead and let's see. Let's just look on your sheet here. Romans 10, verse 6. Still got to get some of these things out, and I believe we want to tie some things together here. But Romans 10, verse 6. It says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and where? In your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it says here, it's with the heart one believes. Faith is of your heart. It's not of your head. You don't believe with your head. You don't believe with your body. You believe with your heart, your spirit. That's how we got born again. That's what this is saying. If you go back to verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? Believe in your heart. See, people look at it and say, well, I confess Jesus. And religions, or I should say, certain denominations, they may be Christian in nature, but it's not about mouthing a bunch of words. If your heart, if you're not believing, it's not with your head that you're believing, it's with your heart. That's how you, this is telling us how to become born again right here. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, but not just say a bunch of words, people say, I said it. No, it's not like a magic, some kind of magic thing. It's believe in your heart and say it, then you will be saved. Faith is in of your heart. Now go to the next verse. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with the heart one believes. It's with the heart one believes. Go ahead and look at Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. It says, So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now we just read that faith is of the heart. You believe with your heart, right? So this says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Now, where do you believe? In your heart. So believes where? You could say, in his heart. Do not, if he, so you back up. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, go, yeah, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. You could say, in his heart. That those things he says will be done, go up to the next verse, he will have whatever he says. So some people will, they'll try to go past this. Go back to the verse 23, the beginning. People will try to go with the verse we just read in this verse. Faith is of the heart, but people are trying to say the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing. I don't want to get mad. I'm going to speak to the mountain. But their heart, they have not tended their heart, so there's no real faith there. If we have a problem, and people say, I just have to say the right thing, I have to say the right thing. It's not about, it's about saying when your heart is believing. I like to say it this way. When you just say it and your heart's not full, it's not been fed on faith. In other words, you have gone weeks and it's like your heart, your spirit man is weak. It's like you've gone without a meal for 3 weeks. How would you feel? You wouldn't have the energy, the calories, it'd be taking it from your body to function. When you try to go on something you heard before, and this is, I've seen this over and over, and we've all done it. You heard about faith. You heard about what you're supposed to do and supposed to say. But you have not been tending your heart. You have not diligently be putting it in. You're not guarding it. You've been letting all this other junk in. When you go to say something and you try to command something, there's no punch there. Now, it's not you working. Don't misunderstand me. You can't buy what Jesus has bought. We're not talking about you working it up. We're not talking about you reaching something where you earned healing or you earned peace or anything. No, Jesus has provided it, but if you're weak spiritually, you don't believe it at that point. You're agreeing with it up here, but your heart is not convinced. You're going by rote trying to say something, but in your heart, you're weak, you're feeble, and there's no punch behind your words. Why? There's no faith. And this is what people do. They're wondering, well, why doesn't this work? Why doesn't this work? Look upstream. How's the condition of your heart? Now, again, we're not talking about earning anything, okay? This isn't saying, we're not saying, okay, you need to do such and such, and then when you say it, it'll work. No, we're just talking about the reality that faith is of the heart, and you don't believe. You're agreeing with your head. You guys are just looking at me. Go to the next one. Go to 1 John 3. No, we're going to fill in some of this. My children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Next one. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Next one. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Next one. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now stop right here. If your heart is bothering you, you won't have confidence. Confidence, assurance, is faith. Even though Jesus bought it and paid for it, you won't have the confidence to exercise it. You're doubting because you think, I don't know, I've done this, I've done that. You're not standing on the word. Go to the next verse. Back to verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If your heart does not condemn you, if your heart is full of faith, you have confidence. Now go to the next one. And whatever we ask, we what? We receive. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now the next verse talks about his commandment is love. You walk in love. Well, that's another thing. That's another thing. But if you violate your heart, it's going to bother you and you're going to see this verse. See, people have confused this. They thought somehow they became disqualified. No, God is the same. The covenant is the same, but your heart is bothering you, so you won't exercise it. There's going to be no faith behind what you're saying. And this is the same thing. This principle is the same thing when we haven't filled ourselves up. We haven't tended to our heart. There will not be any confidence. There won't be any assurance. You're going to be going off your head. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. Because we're not lining up with what he said. Again, I have to say this because there's a lot of people have heard certain things and then they go off and some people will hear this and they'll go like, oh, but you're putting a heavy burden on. I that's the whole point is that I can't do such and such. No, we can do what the Bible told us we can do.
Amen.
We are not talking about you holding yourself up for 8 hours a day studying the Bible. We're saying you start going. We start going in the direction of watching what we put in and what we feed ourselves spiritually. And when we start doing that, our spirit is going to get strengthened, which means we're going to start behaving different. We're going to start speaking different, and the end will start changing. If you haven't done anything, start with 5 minutes. Just start reading the Bible. And then increase it over time. You're getting stronger. You'll want more. Don't look at it as something you have to do. Look at something that you get to do, that you're getting close. You're nourishing your spirit man. I remember I heard Kenneth Copeland tell this story once. And he was talking about, he was out preaching on faith and healing. And his leg was bothering him. He had something wrong with his leg, and it was just getting worse. And he's speaking to it, and nothing's happening. And he's out. He would have to just save it just to get up and get through the service. He's preaching on faith, because we're all human. Don't think anybody's magic, or somebody has gotten past a point that you don't deal with things in your flesh. We are all human. Certain people are anointed to preach. That doesn't mean you're anointed to live life. We all got to walk by faith.
Amen.
And so he was getting up, preaching, just barely getting through, and his legs just torturing him. And he finally gets through at the meetings, and it's not working. He's speaking to it. He's done the things he's teaching and that he has done before, and nothing's happening. Again, it's like there's no punch there. You're saying the same things, but it doesn't pack anything. And so he goes home and he finally gets off the road, and I believe his mom was there, whatever, and he's getting set. I think he was saying over her house or something, he gets set, he gets he just realizes, I got to get built up. You think, well, he's preaching on it. Of course he's built up. That's not true. You can preach the anointed word of God and you yourself are not where you need to be. And God is faithful. And he'll minister to people, but I got to keep myself built up. You have to keep yourself built up. Everybody you know has to do this. We have to tend to our heart. And so he had to get himself fed and built up and his mind right, and then he spoke to the thing, and then it cleaned up. Why? Because you can't just speak. You have to have the punch that comes from your heart. What is that? It's faith, because faith is of the heart. So how are we going to do the things that we're called to do in 2018? We are called to walk by faith. Not by sight. Not by feelings. Not by the external. How are we going to walk the line that we're supposed to walk, run our race, finish our course? How are we going to step out into what God has called us to do? How are we going to change the things that God has called us to change? And he'll do it one step at a time. He's going to ask you to change this and this, and he's getting you where you need to be. But how are we going to do that? We're going to do it by faith. Faith is of the heart. And that goes back to our original text in Proverbs. We have to guard our heart. We have to tend our heart, because all the issues of life are proceeding out of our heart. The way to change, the way to get in the place we need to, is to start focusing in the right place, which is our heart. And all these other things will follow. We'll see change. What do we have to give God? Our will. Decide. You say, I can't. I've tried. That's believing something that's not true. Because if God told us to do it, can you go back up to Proverbs 3, verse 22? Next one. I think it's actually we'll go to verse 24. So right here, 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Can we do this?
Yes.
Well, I've tried. And I failed. Well, does that make the word of God untrue? For each of us, this is going to look different. Where we at, where we're at, what our background is. There is no formula. It's a relationship with God. So in other words, you know, people want to know, well, what do you do for, what do you read? And it doesn't matter. It matters. I mean, I don't mind sharing some of those things, you know, at different points with people, but it doesn't, it's where are we? Get going with where you're at, with your relationship with God. If you're not reading anything, you know, start reading like in Romans. You can read, if you've never read anything, read John and start going through and read the Gospel of John. But then I would jump like into Romans, into the epistles, and start reading the letters that are written to you. You can read Proverbs. Proverbs are just so rich in wisdom. But you can't just live there. You got to have something that's in the New Testament as well. But that's a good thing to read. But just start reading and feeding yourself on the Word of God. Spend time just being quiet before Him. Just shut everything off and just be quiet. If it's 5 minutes. And if you haven't done that, your mind's going to want to race. But you can just focus on Him. Give Him the time for Him to speak to you. Just be quiet. Just being here gives God the ability to feed us and nourish us. But He will take us one step at a time. The point is that if we'll focus on the thing He's told us to, He'll get us to the next step. And He'll get us to the next step. and it'll get us to the next step. And things that we've struggled with will start to fall off. The thing that you've taken, you know, it's like a hill. You've taken a run at it, didn't get up. Taken another run at it, tried to change some. Taken another run at it, and you know, you can get to the place where I can't change this. Well, maybe you can't in and of your own strength. But he knows. Does God know exactly what the root is? Yes. And how to get you so that you can change your behavior? You don't want to do that. You'll go down a different path. Does he know how to get you there?
Yes.
Then what we need to know is just to go to him and say, God, what's the next step? I don't even need to know 10 steps down the road. I just need to know, what are you telling me to do now? And if I'll just do what he's telling me to do now and just stay close to him, then he's going to tell me what the next step is, what I need to know. And he's going to show me the next step. Now, if I start looking to the right and left and go, you know, I'm starting to look out at what the world's doing and maybe I'll try this and that. You could spend your whole life trying stuff. Do we realize that? In any area, you can try the one thing and then another thing. And another, well, maybe this is, I'm going to try this. But God knows exactly what you need. And the Bible says to have faith before him, not before other people. So it doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing. Well, they're not doing it. They're doing this. And I should be doing... No, shut all those thoughts up. Well, you know, I should be doing it this way because that's the right way. Who said there's a right way? The right way is you get results. And God knows where you're at, and he knows what you need. That's why our whole point, our whole focus should be go to him and make sure we're feeding on his word and spending time with him so he can actually get us the right step and then the right step after that so that we don't waste our whole time just trying different things. You could make an inch of progress, you know, every day, but that's better than going around in circles on other things. You may look like, you know, at the beginning, you may look like this one's going farther, going in circles, but if you're going an inch at a time and this guy starts going backwards, pretty soon you're lapping him. And you could just be going an inch at a time, but an inch going forward is a lot better than going 3 feet backwards. And that's what a lot of people, they look like they're going 100 miles an hour, but then it all comes apart because they're not dealing with the true core. But God wants us, he has such good things for us, and he knows how to get us to the next step. He knows how to break the thing that has bound us. He knows that we've dealt with certain things. He knows where it came from. He knows when it got introduced in our life. He knows when we started, you know, yielding to it or whatever. And he knows how to back all that out. But if we just look at the try to deal with the symptoms, try to deal with the behaviors, just try to deal with, I'm not going to say such. Yeah, but what is in your heart? You're going to say what's in your heart. So if we start backing up and start putting something different in our heart, we'll start saying something different. Stop just saying, I'm going to stop this, and start backing up and putting something different so you don't want to do it. And it's amazing how stuff drops off over time. You look up and you say, I mean, I'm not claiming to have arrived. I haven't arrived, but I've left. I have made progress. And we're all at different places, but I've seen this where there was something you're like, I don't know how to get there. And all of a sudden you look up and you're there. He's a faithful God. We make it complicated. We make it too hard. Praise God.